last year, I was back why people were going into engineering or not working. The jobs weren't available. So I took up a deal with education. So I did my practice teaching in algebra. And all things came out, jobs weren't so quite available left back in the fall of 32. Finally, I got a job teaching the cycle school system. Mr. Miller was the superintendent at that time. Teaching at South School of mechanical drawing, physical education, and mathematics. I never had a course in college in mechanical drawing. All I did was what I had in high school and learned as I went along. It can't be done if a person wants to put that in my work to it. Well, back in those days, teaching, we taught six classes a day, besides having a homeroom. And we were very thankful to have a job back in 1933, which the salary at the time was $110 a month. Well, now, as things progress along, why, in the field of education, of course, having a bachelor's degree at a certain level, but there were very few people at that time had master's degrees. And it went along until you could see if you're going to advance in the field of education into administrative end, you must have a master's degree. Well, your teachers' organizations get together going, and so get a salary schedule set up, and they had a master's schedule. So this was induced where a lot of people who work on their master's.
Is this mainly in the Saginaw area?
Oh, no, no. This is in all over the country, as far as that's concerned. This is seems to be a national trend right around, in the early 40s, say. And then after the war, of course, I went into the service in the Navy for 3 years. And came out in 46. I went back out and taught out to Arthur Hill. I taught geometry. Finished the year in one first semester and the second semester at Arthur Hill. Then I went back to South School. Mr. Guy wanted to come back there, so I'm sure I'll go back over to Morris Guy. And very nice fellow. He retired several years ago, about 4 years ago. And so, getting back to degree work, as I mentioned, there's a lot of teachers that have master's degree and get paid a higher salary. They're not as good as some of our teachers who only have a bachelor's degree, but they put that up as a standard, and that is what has to be paid. Well, today the colleges are in the 70s now, late 60s, are wanting people to go back and get their master's right away. But I think that's wrong, because if a person's going out to get a job, they'll pay a bachelor's wages to start with, and you have a master's or a doctor's, your chances of getting a job in a certain place is going to be very, very nil, because there's a money angle. And they'll rather pay a bachelor's degree, and go back and get your master's and get on a master's degree schedule. We have several teachers right here in Saginaw that I know Alice Arnold, a very good teacher over at North School, counselor. She has a master's in English, a master's in journalism, and I think a master's in counseling. But this is all she has to do, to go to school. A lovely gal, and a hard worker. Her sister was an elementary principal at Stone School, retiring this year. But there she's right at the real top. She makes about as much money as the assistant principal the school. So the value, and of course your salary schedules as far as education is concerned, they're all based on the degrees and the number of years.
You'd say there's more pressure now then for masters than there was when you began?
Oh, I don't say there's more pressure. The point is, if a person wants to make more money, they have to have. They'll get their increment up to a certain year as a bachelor's degree. But a master's degree would give him that much more. And so many hours above a master's would give that, or the second master would give him more money. So, consequently, a lot of them are going back to school and just taking courses to get hours piled up on hours to make more money. Which I can't see that, because that's not the job. When we go back to prior as teachers are concerned, years back when you asked a teacher to go and see it, to watch the volleyball game or police the volleyball game or help out the basketball game, they'd be very happy to help out. Today, oh no, how much do I get for doing that? That's not my contract. I often wonder whether the teachers are interested in the students or just the paycheck that they get.
How would you say the students felt about teachers in back when you began?
Well, when I began teaching school, teachers had a lot of respect. And what they said, that was it. And they had respect for teachers. Today, youngsters have no respect for teachers whatsoever. And this goes right back to the home, where it's not taught. And the thing today about schools and regulations, you can set up a set of rules and regulations, and some people say, well, I don't like that, well, I'm not going to abide by that. So they take you to court. The judge says, well, that violates their civil rights. Well, what about the other students? They have to abide by the rules and regulations. And this, to me, our judicial system needs a looking over, too, because they have their laws. School has their rules and regulations, and if a judge is going to tell the schools how to run the schools, then the judges better be the school administrator. Therefore, today a principal of a school is handcuffed in what he can do.
Do you think a principal supports his teachers as much now as he did then?
Oh, well, yes, I think so, because you have to have the facts, and the teacher, you have to protect your employees up to a certain extent until if they're right. Of course, if they're wrong, who can support you if you're wrong? Now, they know the rules and regulations and how to do things and what's right and what's wrong. But of course, today, the least little thing a teacher does, why some people take, you know, the other way. You know, this isn't the trouble is a lot of things. A teacher may do something bad or something wrong, and they'll try to crucify him for just one thing, but they never stop to think of all the good things a teacher does do. If they'd only enumerate a few of those things and start to balance the scales, sure, people are going to do things wrong now and then. That's only natural. But you can't condemn a person forever. I know a fellow in prison teaching the Sagal school system, an awfully nice guy, but the poorest teacher that ever existed. But to try to have him fired with teacher tenure they have today, why, you have to keep a record of every little deed that they've done wrong and give them a slip so they know that you know, and this is on the agenda that are on their record. So it's an awful mess to try to get rid of a poor teacher. Teacher's tenure doesn't protect the good teacher. It protects the poor teacher. A good teacher doesn't have to worry about tenure. He's going to have a job because he's a good teacher. But a poor teacher, he can relax and rest on tenure and keep his job no matter how poor he is.
Would you say it was easier back in the days when you began for good teachers and bad teachers to be sorted out?
No. Well, the point is you were rated as an A, B, or C teacher. And, of course, they try to, some of these people try to rate these on a curve. You have so many A teachers, you have so many C teachers, you have so many teachers. Excuse me. But this was something that was on the salary schedule, see. If you were a top teacher, you got paid more. And I think this should be, if you were a top teacher, you should have more than a fellow that's not doing the job. But today, teachers will do nothing more than teach nothing more or do nothing more than what their contracts say. Okay? And you can go to a school and today, and when school is out, I dare say, go around and see how many teachers are there a half hour after school is out. they're gone. Years ago, your teachers were there till 4:30, something quarter to 5. I know, coaching, we were there till 6 o'clock. And we didn't get paid for it. Today, they get paid for it, and they're on the way home by 4:45. And I think we did a better job years ago than what's being done today. Now, this is reminiscing back when we coached on Burge Noble, myself, at South. Chet Johnson and Harold Newberg over at North, Bob Spear, Mac over at Weber, Theron Fager, Bill Stoner, Kent Rouse over at Central. All these fellows worked till almost 6 o'clock at night without pay. Now they pay them and they give less time.
What do you think accounts for the troubles they're having with sports nowadays, the closed games?
Your trouble is, we had one instance the other day over at South School where somebody was too mouthy, and that wouldn't have happened back in the day when we were coaching, because we would have stopped and turned around and get that person and get out of here, see? And a boy can only stand so much. You can't, if you get out there and somebody, you're razzing the daylights out of him, he's going to explode. This is what happened. So don't blame the black boy. It was a white boy that started it, see. And this is what happened. And, there's a lot of good black students, and there's a lot of good white people, and there are a lot of white people that are not so good too, and black people also. But they're today, the black people, kids go in a gang. And if they can intimidate a white person by the whole gang, this is what they'll do. But individually, they won't do that. Right? But as a gang movement, this is what happens. And we've seen several instances of that in the last few years. But I've had a lot of youngsters, black students, or good students come from good families, because they brought their students over to this school, over to North School, rather than have good school with the other black students they didn't want to associate with. So these parents want to do something for the youngsters.
Would you say the quality of education has improved with the youngsters, black and white?
The quality of education, what do you mean, the teaching or the physical plants? Or?
Well, like you spoke of how in the beginning you had 6 periods a day with a homeroom, now they have the split shifts and they have...
Well, I would say with the facilities they have today, I think the teaching has improved with the different audio things that they have can show youngsters today. And we didn't have back in those days. That's the case of having money to do these things. And I do think that some of our teachers who have a period off for preparation could use it for preparation and not go into the smoking room and sit there all hour and smoke. This is my hour off. Now, this is what a lot of the teachers are doing today. And they're going to kill the goat goose one of these days, because somebody's going to say, this has got to stop. Have to go down and have coffee or have a cigarette every half hour. Be surprised the number of teachers that will have to leave the room and go and have a cigarette or have a cup of coffee or something. So, but as far as teaching facilities and schools have all improved, as far as buildings are concerned, there are some schools that are still in use that are very, very good. I take North and South School have been fixed up real well. Lighting and auditoriums and everything that they have. But I do think this, that I think our school buildings could be used a little bit more than what they're being used.
In what way?
Well, in the hours that they could be used in the evening for other people to come in and use them, say, for adult instruction or handicraft or something like that in the community. Now, they did that down in Flint, the Vermont program down there. And Frank Manley was instrumental in doing that. Charles Mott's dead now, and so have been. But they utilize the buildings more. Of course, we have our basketball games, our city leagues, and different things going on. But that's only using your the gymnasium, but I think some of your classrooms could be used. Of course, your janitors will say, well, when are we going to get the work done? Well, this is another angle. We'll have to get it done somehow while they're using the rooms and such. I think we could have more adult instruction. People who want to go to night school, several of these schools, they wouldn't have to go over to one place.
What are your feelings on the kids and their dress codes now?
Well, I think dress codes is something that has to go back to the parents. What are the parents allowing them to wear at school? And the dress codes all over the country are the same thing. Half of the day they wear slacks. And I'd rather, this is one thing that I was very much against. The girls wearing any skirts. Where do you draw the line, say? So I'd rather see the girls in slacks than I would in any skirts. And I would want to fought for this. A few years ago over at North, our kids were wearing slacks. Within a month, all the rest of the schools were wearing slacks. Because, well, if one school can do it, why can't the other? And this was a simple reason why I think the policy should be made right over town at the board office and say, this is what we're going to expect our young people to wear in school. And if they can't make the policy, how can you enforce anything? Say, if each school is going to make a different policy, well then that makes it rough on all the other schools. Say, and I know that, I think she's retiring this year, Mary Kay Burt, you would know her, Kruger, Mrs. Kruger.
Mrs. Kruger.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't like that at all. It was gay, and I'm sorry. I have looked around, and I've been on the secondary school principal board in the state of Michigan for several years, and this is what's happening all over. They're wearing slacks, believe me. And I said, I'd much rather see the girls in slacks than I would in many skirts. They're old-fashioned, what I mean. And you got to change, but you got to change in the right way, see. If it wasn't for change today, where would our inventors be today? It wouldn't be any place.
Do you consider Saginaw progressive?
Oh, I do. I do, and to a certain extent. They do very well. I think you'll find that you have to realize that the city of Saginaw, as far as education is concerned, now, whether you're measuring the productivity of how well the students do. Now, this is it's pretty hard to measure one school against another school, see, because you've got a different clientele. Now, you could measure South School and North School against Central and Weber of the difference of the makeup of the school. Now, there are a lot of good black students, but there's a lot of poor ones too, and there's a lot of poor white students. But where do you draw the line and say, well, the white students are much better than the black students? Well, not necessarily. So the thing is, now if you take the city of Midland and take those schools, Midland High School and the Dow High School, they'll outrank Arthur Hill or Saginaw High. Why? Because of the makeup of the community. See, you don't have one. I don't mean that, I will say this, if you take the Mexicans and the Mexican Americans and the black, we'll bring the ratio down. See, maybe the white students that you have here would almost equal what you have over there, but as a total beam, with all these other people, it brings it down. See, can't help it. And it's hard for some people to understand that. And they say, well, they don't teach anything at Arthur Hill. They don't teach anything. Well, they do too. But you're measuring in the whole community. This is for the whole community. You can't bring everybody up to a certain point. You've got so far. Some people are a little higher, some lower. So when you're talking about the quality of education, the quality of education is there if you want it. But if you're going to measure that quality of education, measured by the number of National Honor Society scholarships you get. Well, you know how many Midland gets and how many Arthur Hill And I'm going to say, uh-huh, take a look. And it's going to show you what happened. So it's trying to educate the black races as well as the white race in Mexican America, where you don't have to back the family background. And the family taking an interest in each other. And books at home where youngsters can use and utilize. And they turn on the little box and say, time to study. And this is where it happens. Quality of education measured right from the quality of the home.
Do you have any comments on the kids today as far as getting in trouble? It seems like when I was in school, there were more pranks, you know, where now things are more serious.
Oh, there's always pranks. Edwina, I can look back when we were kids in school, we thought nothing going down the alley, push the back houses over. Say, these were pranks that kids will do. And kids will be kids, and they'll do the darndest things sometimes. But I think this, that kids today don't have enough responsibility to do things. They've got a lot of free time, but they don't make use of it. They could be sitting down reading or participating in sports, getting some exercise, doing some work around the house. Some definite responsibility they have to do. Say, everything is given to them. They don't have to work. Now, I go back when I was going to high school, Arthur Hill, I'd go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I worked at 8 at the grocery store, Meat Market on Bond Street down here. Go to school at 8 o'clock, come back at 3 o'clock, and work till 6 o'clock at night and come home. Okay. But one year I wanted to go out for athletics, and I played football, basketball, baseball for Arthur Hill. Well, I just loved athletics, but I had to work. Okay. The same way in college. But the youngsters today don't have the responsibility, the chores and things to do. We have to bring water. Now, I look back at my youth, when I was a youth, we had to bring in coal for the coal stove. We had a hard coal and we had a soft coal stove in the kitchen, and should be kindling wood there for the kitchen. The rest of the back of the kitchen stove had to be in water in it, so it'd be warm. And we had to make sure there was coal there. We had to go over to the well and carry the water, drinking water. And on Sunday night, they had to carry the water from others to wash it because we didn't use this. The river was closed. It had to come from the well. So you had to go over and carry 2 pails of water, put them in the boiler, and so forth. Well, is today, what do you have? If you want heat, you go to the thermostat, turn it up. If you want water, you got good water, turn it off. We didn't have the TV or the radio in my day, but radio was just coming in. It was a battery type thing years ago. So, and we didn't have the automatic washers and dryers. So you see, everything is mechanized. The refrigerator, we had an ice box where you put the ice in the top and you had, sure, the pan was down below to catch the water. And in the wintertime, we put a box out on the windowsill. So, you see, things have changed so much, and has taken away a lot of the chores that youngsters used to do. Now, I don't know. Some kids don't even want to shovel the walks. See? And I think that is where training comes right directly from home, where they have to be given a good swift kick and make a move. Well, I was in the scouts. A lot of youngsters and boys and girls would be interested in scouts, campfire girls, and things like that. But all this has to come from the home. It has to be generated from the parents ahead of them. The parents ahead of them have got a job to keep these kids active and doing things and responsibilities. And if they don't, then they're in problems. And the kid has nothing to do. What does he look for? He looks for something to create problems or something. So it... the home. Now, I don't blame it on religion. Religion has a part in it. Now, how many parents take their children to church? Okay. Of course, the churches, as they are getting built up. Now, I know down south, in the wintertime, we're down there, those churches are just full down there in the high acres. But are they here today? Okay. So, religion is, they're making religion convenient for people. I say convenient to take Catholicism. you can go to church on Saturday night, so you don't have to go Sunday if you want to do something on Sunday. Or if you want to stay out to midnight, you can go to midnight mass, so you don't have to get up in the morning. Well, this is just an example of church of convenience. So, I don't know, things change. Now, churches have to change. Now, we have a lot of priests that want to get married. And eventually, I think it will change. But it's going to take time. So,
what do you see in the future for the kids here in Saginaw as far as education goes?
Oh, I think the kids in Saginaw today are awful darn lucky. You've got two schools with colleges, Saginaw Valley College here, Delta College out here, and with an opportunity to stay at home and go to school and cut the cost of going to school. Now, I know the cost I can get by in my days is about $400 to $500 a year. Today, you're lucky to get through with about $2,000 a year. See? But every youngster today, they want a car, they want everything, all the facilities and everything. They don't want to earn it. They have to get on the Shoe Leather Express, do a little walking. Well, it was wonderful to have an automobile, but today, go out to Arthur Hill. How many automobiles do you think are out there? I'll bet you, going out to count, you count about pretty close to 800 automobiles out there.
Easy.
Okay. One for about every three students. Okay. So, today, while a lot of these kids could walk. Oh, no, have to ride, see. Now, we thought nothing of walking in our day, walking to high school. But we never had a car. A guy had it that was something. Get a family car and have a date or something, but then it was wonderful. But this is the thing, kids here in Saginaw, you have a career opportunity center, if they want to learn a trade, it's open for them. Saginaw Valley College, Delta College, close by, only 50 miles away, you've got Central Michigan. You've got Alma College, a denominational school. They've got a lot of good denominational schools. There's Albion and Hope, but Kalamazoo, Adrian, Olivet. There's state schools, Eastern and Central, and Michigan State, and University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. So, with all these schools there, if a person wants to get an education, and they want to deprive themselves to get that education, it's there for them. But you're going to have to sacrifice. And you can't have everything. You've got to sacrifice in order to get out in the world. These people have everything in the house. Give them on a platter, their father must own the plant, see. So they can only lead them and try to, it's up to the person. If the person has the initiative and the will to do it, they can get it. I used to have a sign up in my classroom, I can if I will.
How true. Excuse me, I think.